greet you in the matchless name of our Savior once again, at the return of His holy day. How good it is that we have another opportunity to fellowship and meet with one another. As announced, the church just completed its annual Bible conference up in Awana. Thank God for that. And everything went off without any mishap. While you all were in Awana and may have missed me, I missed you all as I was in the island of Batam in Indonesia. It sounds like a long ways away, but it's only half an hour by boat and half an hour by car. So within an hour or so, you are in a foreign country. I was speaking to the Bible Presbyterian Tengah Church. Those of you who have not been to Tengah, try it. It's a good place. I've said it is the most beautiful campus of all our BP churches in Singapore. It is the only one that's got the big campus. It belongs to the military in Tengah Air Base. And what did I do, you say, in the 5 days in Pulau Batam? Well, they worked me hard. Every morning, speaking 3 hours, which meant my daily routine started at 3:30 a.m. to get up and to be much in prayer, preparing to speak, as well as preparing for the lawsuit. I ask you to pray, as somehow it has turned out that I will be the principal witness, being the only human being still alive and well who witnessed the whole story of BP Church from day one till now. I'm the only living witness. So I ask for your prayer. You say, what do you pray for? I pray for God's will be done. Yes. Do not pray for anybody to receive all kinds of sentence and things that it may come to your mind. I say, if it is God's will, it must be the best. In case you do not know, the Bible College, which was founded together with the church called Life Bible Presbyterian Church in 1950 for the church and 1962 for the Bible College, have come to a point of where there is love lost and they are no longer on good terms. So the church says to the college, it's better you get out. And the college says, but this is our home. It's our paternal home. And the founder founded college and church, both. And just because he's no longer principal of college, you say to get out. It's not easy to get out. But whatever it is, I see you pray that God's will be done. To put it in short, it is a case something like this. The son has grown up, and the son no longer needs father, and say, Father, I think the house is too small, you better get out. So this is, to put it in short, what should the judge adjudicate? How should he adjudicate? I don't know. I'm not the judge. So you pray for me that I will just speak what I saw and heard in the best of my ability. That's what I pray you will do for me. The hearing is 31st August to the 4th of September, 5 days. Whether it will last the whole 5 days, I do not know. But you pray for one thing, that God's will be done. To those who have asked, hey, where is Mrs. Toh? I say she's not well at home, so please pray for her. Today's message is taken from 1 Peter. Please turn to 1 Peter. The text proper is chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, and I will read this with you so that you have an idea of what we are going to talk about. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisies, envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as living or lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, grant to us spiritual understanding in the hearing and reading of thy holy word. Bless the congregation with the understanding of thy will, the understanding of the message given by thy servant Peter as he wrote that this passage of scripture left to us may accomplish thy purpose, for truly thy word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. In Jesus' name, amen. Peter, we go back to first chapter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, the one who wrote this letter. And who was Peter? It's good always to recall who he was. You remember the last meeting with the Lord Jesus at the lakeside of Galilee. By the way, in November, our group is going to Galilee. And those who have never been, I advise you to start going because you may not have the opportunity always. Don't go because the price is high. It's quite low, actually. So please look up Mr. Milton Ang. He's the organizer. I wish I could go. I want to go, I wish to go, but I don't think I can this time. But it is a good place to sail on the sea where Peter sailed oftentimes and where he started his whole career as a fisherman. How many of you like fishing? I don't. I go straight to the market and get my fish every time because I have no patience. I say, why don't the fish bite my bait right away? Now, Peter is the one with a lot of patience. And his profession, if we call it a profession, his occupation was a fisherman. And there he was one day with Andrew, his brother, and James and John and the others, a whole lot of them, when Jesus came by and said, hey, you, what have you caught? Whole night, nothing. How pathetic. That's why I go to cold storage and instead of go to the sea. So they said, Lord, we caught nothing. Jesus says, why are you in your trouble? Launch into the deep and cast our nets down again. And out came so many fish that their nets broke. Remember that story? This was a miracle. Jesus held back the fish for the night and they caught nothing. But at his word, their nets broke because there were so many fish, and this spoke to them. Does it speak to you today? We have a wonderful Lord, and he can do things you never knew he could do. Tonight I'm going to speak of the world after the flood. Last Sunday I spoke of the world before the flood. Do you know the Lord Jesus says, you kept asking me, when am I coming? And I've told you, but do you believe it? Jesus' answer is, when you see the days of Noah repeated, you know I'm coming again. What were the days of Noah repeated? In the days of Noah, nobody believed the preaching of Noah. Noah told them again and again for 100 years. By the way, you think that's fairy tale? It's not. When I say 100 years, I mean 100 years. It could be 120. In those days, people lived 912 years on the average. So these are the things we spoke last week. Tonight, more, please come. Don't say, hey, well, you heard it before. I say, I assure you, there are new things you never heard before. So at the call of Jesus, the Son of God, who knew all the fishes, including those that morning. And at his word, they came along and they were caught. Do you believe that? Oh, my friends, it's about time we all rethink through our theology, our understanding of God's word. The Son of God is Lord of all creation. Your Lord, my Lord. The problem is some people do not know him. And those who know him do not trust in him altogether. Now, this same Peter, on the last meeting with the Lord at the Sea of Galilee, you all will remember, I have no doubt, that Jesus asked him 3 times, Simon Peter, son of Jonas, do you love me? 3 times. Until Peter got a little unsettled. Why asking me 3 times? Am I speaking something he doesn't understand? Of course he does. Then why 3 times? 3 times because Jesus loved Peter. Peter had denied Jesus 3 times. And Jesus never reminded him of that, but only say, Peter, you really love me. Feed my sheep. And this is what he is doing, writing the epistle of Peter to all the Christians in that area. This is a general letter addressed to all the believers and to us also. Chapter 1, verse 1, please follow. Peter, an apostle. What is an apostle? One who is commissioned, sent by Jesus personally. And therefore, it is limited. Not anyone is an apostle. Like today, many churches, they have self-styled. Apostle so-and-so is the one in charge. No, dear friends, we do not want to misuse and cheapen the word. Apostle is one who has been sent by Jesus personally. Go to all the world and preach the gospel. This is what Peter is doing. And I give Peter all credit. I hope you all can be like Peter. What credit? To remember his promise to Jesus 3 times. What did Jesus say? Peter, feed my sheep. In the day to come, there will be believers under your care. Make sure you care for them. This is the meaning of feed. It doesn't mean that you all the time give food, you know. Feed my sheep includes care for my sheep. Pray for them. Correct them when they are wrong. But always encourage them. Go and give them the spiritual food. Now this epistle is addressed by Peter. Verse 1 again, apostle or servant of Jesus Christ to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Southeast Asia. That Asia is far away. This Asia is right where we are. So I say, when you read this, understand this letter of Peter is addressed to you. How wonderful. True? Absolutely. For Peter's ministry is global. Wherever God's people are, this letter applies, is relevant. So read this and read it at home again. Why? Because it's addressed to you. To the strangers scattered throughout Southeast Asia, including Malaysia, Singapore. Verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Elect meaning to say, I write this letter to you because you are chosen of God. You cannot become a Christian except the Father, God chose you. This is theology. This is revealed to Peter, revealed to Paul, and written here for our benefit, that you understand being a Christian is no joking matter, no light matter. To be included into the family of God is the greatest blessing and privilege that can ever happen to any human being. Because you are elect, because God chose you, this is what the Word of God tells us. And I say, when you hear it, you say, thank God that God took note of me, despite my unworthiness. Is there anyone here who is worthy to be included into God's family? No. No one is worthy, but we are made worthy because of the gospel that tells us God loved you and sent you his Son, and he is the only way. And you said, amen. I want Jesus to be my Savior. This is something we all have gone through, except maybe some here who are still waiting, sampling our wares at this church. You come here to try us out. I said, dear friends, whoever you are, God loves you and sent you his Son, Jesus Christ. And if you come to him and say, Lord, I want to believe, you are instantly received into the family of God. And you are an elect. You know the meaning of the word elect? You know election? Choosing of your leaders for the next cabinet is our election. So here you are chosen of God to become a member of the family of Jesus Christ, and this letter is to you. Read it, therefore, with new understanding and new meaning. Read on in verse 2 now. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. God knew you, foreknowledge. Even as he knew the fish that Peter caught that morning when he followed Jesus as his disciple. You are elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit. How did you become manifested as an elect? Because when you heard the word, the Holy Spirit touched your heart, and you became separated unto Jesus Christ, because you left your home, you left your idols, you left your make-believe, free-thinking, they call it. You left all that to say, I do not want any more of those things. I know there is only one Savior, Jesus Christ. How did you know? Holy Spirit convicted you, convinced you, separated you out, sanctification of the Holy Spirit. That's what it means. Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, you came willingly to say, Lord, I want to be washed of my sins. I know I have lived a life of sin. Big or small, doesn't matter, but we all are sinners, and we come here to be saved by his grace and to be washed. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us, has given us new birth. Years ago, your parents begat you. You were begotten of your earthly parents to give you this life that you are able to come and sit there physically as a man or woman. You are begotten of your parents. But when you heard the gospel and the word of God came into you, you were begotten again. This is what we mean by born again. So, thank God you ever were born again. Because if you are born once, you die twice. But if you are born twice, you die once. You understand this theology, the gospel? So thank God we are begotten of God again to a lively hope in Jesus Christ. Because of the resurrection of our Savior, we keep repeating this again and again. We believe in Jesus Christ different from any other religion. Why? No other Savior, no other religious head rose from the dead, only Jesus. And how do I know? I know because there is evidence, full of evidence. Only the blind will not see. So for these reasons, thank God for our Savior. And what did he save us to? In case you've forgotten, this is a revision, by the way. Verse 4. It is worth you knowing what you receive as an inheritance. An inheritance you cannot work for. You cannot buy. All you have to do is to become a recipient of the gift. That's all. Inheritance. To an inheritance incorruptible, unlike any earthly inheritance. This is a most wonderful because it will never grow old, undefiled, cannot get spoiled. That fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, all these are the things that will come to you because you are a believer. Now, to us is a special message this morning. Chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, because you are a child of God, because you are a believer, because you have been born again, because you have the new life, and you say you are a Christian, congratulations, that's the most wonderful thing that can happen to you. Now Peter says, don't stop at that. You must show signs of your being born again. How do you think of a baby born and never grows? How does the baby grow? Now we read this, what I've spoken to you is the physical aspect of it, of a baby. Every Christian begins life as a baby, born again. In the Spirit of God, you are made a child of God. Now, verse 1. Wherefore, because you are a child of God, lay aside all malice. What is malice? Anger and hatred because there's something you harbor in the heart against somebody and you're very worked up. You feel so angry whenever you think of that person or see that person. Peter says, stop it. If you're a believer and born again in Jesus Christ, there must be a change. Whereas those worldly types will express anger, malice. In all they say, they'll say something that is very sharp and pointed and unfavorable. Have you not experienced that? Or guile. Guile is anything that you say that is very super smart. Yes. Out of cunning and out of evil intent. So that the person who you refer to is being put in a bad light. Hypocrisies. This is the worst. And in the Bible, the group that are hypocrites, all the time referred to by the Lord Jesus, are the Pharisees. The ones who are so religious looking outside, so pure and so good, as models of the church. Jesus says, hypocrites, whited sepulchres, painted grave stones. Inside and under the gravestones are rotting bodies and bones full of filthy things. That is the description of a hypocrite. Peter says, if you're a Christian born again, stop that kind of behavior. Hypocrisies. Envies. Someone is successful, you get angry. Somebody has better marks than you in school, you are jealous. Envies, all evil speakings, backbiting, saying things that are true, possible, not true, always. And why do you do it? Because there is anger, there's malice, there's envy, there's guile inside, all the evil things in the heart that stimulate you. And every time you think of somebody, out comes a torrent of unfavorable comments. Why should it be? Peter says, you will not grow as a Christian if you harp on these things. Always bad-mouthing other people. Always thinking bad of people. Always speaking something to jibe at people. Don't do it. Are you guilty? Let's apply it always to ourselves. If I am a Christian, if I have been born again, these things ought not so to be. What is it? Malice. Never bear malice or hatred or anger against anybody. Guile, cunning, hypocrisies, saying flattering words when you don't mean it. Envies, all evil speakings. These things do not do you any credit. Some of the things may be true of other people. Just because it is true, it doesn't mean you must go around and be a broadcaster, broadcasting all the time. You don't belong to the broadcasting company. Please look into your own self. Are you a true Christian? If so, you must be like a newborn baby. Verse 2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, this is a very potent kind of reasoning. You say you're born again. Have you grown? How have you grown? In what way did you grow? The best way for a newborn babe to grow is the word of God, which is like milk. You don't give the newborn babe milk, meat. Right? There are two different differentiations here. One is milk, one is meat. How do you feed your newborn babe? Give milk. As a newborn babe, you feed yourself. Go for the sincere milk of the word. What is the meaning of sincere? Pure, unadulterated. When you buy milk, what do? You look at the date. Don't buy expired milk, which is possibly rotten already. But in any case, buy good milk. You are a child of God. Look for the good milk, which is the word of God. Don't say, well, the word of God is so old-fashioned. How can I believe words written 3,000 years ago? Genesis, all fables. Is it? Is what you think? When I first had a church to look after, I did a census. I passed around a paper. Everybody had a sheet of paper. I asked them to write there honestly, do you read the Bible? How do you read your Bible? How often do you read the Bible? I was stunned. I don't know whether I'll still be stunned if I pass around paper today, ask you all to write down. But you know yourself what you do, whether you read the Bible, how you read the Bible, how often, and how much understanding. Don't read mechanically. Don't say, well, the Bible is so old-fashioned, how can I believe it? Let me tell you this. Before Columbus sailed around the world and said, wow, world is round. 2,000 years before then, the Word of God says, their world is round. Don't you think it's flat? And then I saw a picture. They say these are the Indian gods. And they found out that the world is supported by four elephants, super elephants. And the world is flat. But Job wrote in the book of Job, 3,500 BC. God hangs the world on nothing. The world is round and it floats in space. But until Columbus sailed around the world, he said, amazing, I've discovered. I went in one direction, I came back to the same point. So the world must be round. So these are the things. Don't say, well, the word of God is so old-fashioned. The word of God is the only word that can give you new birth. The new life, the secrets of God are all contained in the word of God. How are you reading? As a result of that census that I took, and because at that time I was promoting Scripture Union. Scripture Union, by the way, was founded in 18-something.
That is about 150 or more years ago. It was founded to make the Bible easier to read in installments, in small bite-sized parts of the Bible, and you can read one every day. And I was a Scripture Union secretary for Life Church. I promoted urge people to read, coax them to read, until we had the biggest subscription for the whole of Singapore in Life Church, 500 readers. This was 1960s, 70s, until 1982. I read the Scripture Evening Notes, which says, how can we believe? The world was created in 6 days. I said, wow, what is this? And can you really believe that when Adam and Eve were expelled from the garden, God put the seraphims to guard the garden and that they could not return? Can you really believe that there were guardians, angels that came down from heaven? And talking serpent, snake talking to Eve, how can you believe that? Amazing things. I said, if that is Scripture Union, I think it is not safe to read Scripture Union Notes. I don't know how many of you still read Scripture Union Notes. From 1982, I said, no, we must not read, because it's sowing seeds of unbelief. It's very poisonous, and this is a fulfillment of the prophecy that in the end times, there will be false prophets who will doubt the word of God and invent strange new doctrines. So we stop. Scripture Union Notes, no more in Life Church, nor in this church. Then after that came Our Daily Bread by Dehan and group. Well, they are not that bad, but they have got a mixed bag of editors, including unbelievers, including Roman Catholics and others. I said, that is very dangerous. So what do I do? This is it. How many of you use this? By the way, can I have a show of hands? This is Read, Pray, Grow. Grown and born in this church. How many read this? 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10. About 5%. Wow. I'm very discouraged. Why won't you all read? Not this, but this helps you to read this. The problem is, when I started reading the Bible, usually at New Year time I resolve, but many people resolve to read, and you read, wow, so many chapters a day, how to finish it? And then after a while, your good intention dissolves, and then you don't read. That's a problem. With Scripture Union Notes, you have enough to fill your morning hour with about half an hour. Reading the Word of God, reading the commentary and the prayer, and pray through. You try this. And this is written, prepared, printed, free of charge for you. Free of charge. Get your copies. Now, let's look what it says. Lay aside all malice, verse 1 again. Verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Reading the word is for your goodness, for your goodness, for your blessing. As I said, these notes are given free of charge. If you never have a system, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So, okay, this is it. Get your copy and start reading now. Now we'll turn to this morning's responsive reading, while we will end very soon. Psalm 119. This is this morning's reading. How can I be consistent? Why should I read the Word of God? Answer is, first of all, you resolve. Second, you must pray. All right? Those of you who have no system, you fail. Definitely you fail. And you need a system. What is the system? Psalm 119, verse 97. This is what we read a moment ago. Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Who says this? The psalmist, possibly King David. But the psalmist says, this is how I value the word of God. Most of you will agree with this. Sure, of course. Everyone who is a born again Christian agrees to this. But then how do I read the word of God consistently, regularly, and to benefit? Answer is, read this and pray. Lord, I love to read your word. Please help me to really find your word useful to me. Make your word appetizing. Every newborn baby takes milk without having to be coaxed or tutored. Do you know that? Of course you know. It's natural. Now, same with God's word. If you are truly a child of God, you will love that word. But if you have not, pray for it. Pray God to help you. This is what we all must do. So look at verse 97. How do you pray? Say, Lord, I love your word. I know without your word, I could not have been saved. I would never know the way of salvation. Now that is the wonderful word of God. So what do I do? Lord, help me that I will love your word. And it may become my meditation all the day. Verse 103. O Lord, make your word sweet to my taste. Then I will say, how sweet, really. I never knew it until I began to read. I never knew it was such a wonderful book until I began to read. And the Holy Spirit opened my eyes. Why don't you start today? Verse 103. Lord, help me to appreciate how sweet are your words to my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Verse 105. In conclusion, Lord, I have strayed away. I have met with disaster at times on the way because I fall into pitfalls or I go off the road and I injure myself. Now what do you do? Lord, please, verse 105, give me your word which is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Give it to me. Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things out of thy law. Make that your prayer. Will you? Let us pray. Father in heaven, we need thy word, for we know thy word is life and light and truth. And it is the only way, the only book that shows us the way to heaven. O Lord, may your people resolve even now to be faithful in knowing the word of God. For if we are children of God, surely the Father is expecting us to hear his word. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, Amen.